He gives us a chance to get it right. And that's why I think it's so important that people give as they should. And no better example of giving than us, the members of his church. He depends on us to do what we're supposed to do. He looks forward to us doing that. And he challenges us. He challenges us each and every day. Now, I read this lesson. I found it interesting, very informative. But when I looked at this, I'm here on whatever page it is. I don't know the page's number here. Page 67 in this book. Nope. 66. 65 and 66 start night. Now, there's a challenge here that I found very interesting. And it says, suppose a preacher stood at the front of an assembly of about 500 people and delivered an inspiring message on giving. The challenge is, any person, after I finish my lesson, any person who would come after the sermon and shake the preacher's hand, they will receive $100. Now that's the challenge. Preacher. Yeah. No. That was, that's the challenge. And if you know the mindset of a preacher, many of them, if they do that, there's gonna be some that's not gonna believe it. That's a challenge. They're not going to believe him. Some won't come down and challenge him on the dare. But when they found out he was giving out that money, some decided that they weren't going to believe him. Some decided they were wondering if this man get all that money. Second thing, or the third thing was, I don't believe that. Until they came out and saw some of the members and some of the people with $100 bills. You know, it's tough to challenge sometimes. But it's good to be able to believe what he said. All you had to do was go up and shake his hand. And many of them did not. And then others said, he must have really been giving that money out. You know? Well, they could have got some too had they gone on up there and took him at his word. Yeah. That's all they had to do. Because I think I've been one of the first ones up there. Shaking his hand. Well, that's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. $100, that is wonderful. But that's just an example, first of all, of a preacher challenging us and him keeping his word. I think the most important thing is keeping his word. Because that's what God does. God says, I will give you more than you'll be able to handle. He says that. And I like, and we've been talking about Malachi chapter 3 for a long time. Frankly, every lesson. And this one is no different. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be room enough to receive it. That's the challenge. The Israelites had a problem because they didn't want to obey God. They didn't believe him. They didn't take him at his word. I think the disappointment, and I'm going to disappointment here, and looking at this class, I'm glad all of you are here, but there are those that had not been able to come, and I'm sorry they were not able to come to get the lesson that the elders were teaching on, but I'm glad that all of you are here. All right. Thank you. All right. Now, we already know that God issues a challenge to each and every one of us. Now, just how important is this challenge? And I want to make this clear. When you decide that you're not going to do all that God expects of you, you can still lose your soul from not obeying him. We have the opportunity to give, and we need to make sure that we do that. It says, unfortunately, a large percentage of New Testament Christians fall into the doubters category. God has issued a challenge filled with blessings of dare, yet many refuse to act on it because they do not believe God will do what he says. That's sad when we doubt the Lord. We're supposed to be able to accept what he says. Why? Because he is God, and he's not going to lie. I know for a fact that when we take this day and challenge God and do what he says and give as we should with love, he will open the windows. I know that for a fact. That I've seen in my life. And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing when you can do these things, and really, I find it a joy to be able to give to the Lord as he has blessed and blessed me and my family. Let's see where we are. He issues a challenge to us. Now it says in chapter 8 of this book, we looked at the curse God places on those who do not give scripturally. According to Malachi 3, God explained those who refuse to give him his money are stealing from him. That's a strong word. Stealing. I wouldn't want to be a thief taken from the Lord, because he's not like man. When he says something, he means it. God says what it means and means what he says. Comment before I go on, because we got to look at some other things here in a minute. Comment, yes, bro. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. Nothing that happens on the face of this earth that God doesn't know about. People are doing things they ought not do, and don't think they're going to ever get caught. But we as Christians need to understand where God stands on the challenge that he put before us when it comes to giving back to him. Just how important is giving back. It's not that we are, the elders here, trying to build up the budget so that we can, you know, have more to do with. But it's just the right thing to do. I'm so glad that Brother Father and Brother Butt wrote this book, and they gave some good lessons on this particular subject. But most of the time, it only irritates the people who don't give when you're talking about giving. When they're irritated because they don't want to do what the law says. And how many times I'm going to tell you, God, nothing we have belongs to us. Everything we have is on loan. He lets us use it. What's the saying? I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hill. You're not going to carry it with you. I don't care how much Howard he used and all that money. He's gone on, but the money stayed back in. And many of them. But we are going to be, and God didn't say, I'm going to make you rich. But we're already rich. If you look at the reality of it, if you got a certain amount of hair, and you're able to go to work, you're able to have things like that, take care of your family, have a home, we're already rich. We're richly blessed. Thank you, Don. Richly blessed. That's exactly right. Exactly right. And we have so much to be thankful for. So much. Give to God what is right, and he will bless you. with more blessings that you than you can receive. There's those of us in here that know what that's all about. And know what it's all about. I have to keep a check on things here. Reaping the benefits. But before I go over there, we talked about Malachi 3:10. But many people simply do not believe the fact that it is more blessed to give than to receive in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35. Christ said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Our Lord didn't even have a house or a home to lay his head. But he did everything he could. And he had the multitude following him to learn what he had to say as he taught those parables to all of them. How many of us feel like we are blessed? I know I am. I know I am so blessed. And most of all, I'm thankful. But I'm gonna tell you, I'm blessed that I got a good support system. My wife was always there for me. In spite of myself. But she's always there for me. And I'm thankful for her. And I'm thankful to God for getting us together. But it's so true. You got to remember that everything belongs to him. Let her use it. I've done long gone. I just the house that I lived in will still be standing. But you know, that's the way it goes. You know, I'm so thankful. Reaping the benefits. Many Christians have taken God up on his offer and are receiving the blessings he promised. Kyle Butt, one of the writers of this book, could list hundreds of stories to verify that statement. He said, recently I spoke about a scripture given when he was in Montgomery, Alabama, and an older gentleman who looked to be about 75 gave me a hearty handshake and told me he greatly appreciated my lessons and believed what was taught. He explained that he was given 25% of his income. And I'm reading this because I find it very enlightening. Have you ever wondered why scriptural givers love to hear lessons on scripture giving? It is because they have taken God at his word, tested him as he instructed, and then thank you, inundated with the promised blessing. You ever notice when people that love to give are always looking for ways to give more? That sounds strange, If it sounds strange, I like to give 10%, but I'm working on 15%, where I can give a little bit more. I'm always looking for ways where I can give more. God has blessed me, blessed my family, where we can do what we need to do. Yeah, we give a little extra money. I don't call it extra, but I find a way to give the Lord some of that, because without him, I wouldn't have it in the first place. Everything belongs to the Lord. And the Lord says, try me, and I will show you. I'll show it. And it's very important that people get it. And let's see, I heard about another faithful Christian man who he gives 67% of his income. Yeah, there's not too many people that do that. But he is willing to go the extra mile. If he has it, he is able to give it. But that's good. I don't think he's bragging because he gives it 67%. I think he was just telling the writer that's what he is. I want to give more. Because, you know, the church got bills, just like you got your bills at home, house note, car note, food bill. Well, the lights have to stay on here. The heat and the cold months and the air conditioning in the warm months. We have to look at and want to take care of the Lord's house. Like we take care of our own house. Well, you could give 65% of his income. Given that much, you would think he would be looking for ways to cut back. But he didn't. He was looking for ways to give more to the Lord. Comment. And see, you're absolutely right, because you don't never know. Then you don't know what. If the older guy, many of them say, well, look, I don't need a whole lot these days. My children are, grown. I don't need as much. Probably had a good paying job when he was working. Probably had a little bit put away. Who knows? But he was still able to give it, so that was good. I always think that, and I never always felt this way. And I admit it, that I didn't always give like I should have. But the late Michael Jones used to say, when you learn better, you do better. And he's absolutely right. And I put that on here. Tried giving 15%. Well, I tried giving 15%. And I think I can do that. Yes, sir.
I can assume that by giving that much, he can do more by giving the money to the church than just giving his preachership to the church and then giving some to Terry or giving some to, you know, any particular, you know, person or whatever, because it might get to the point where they look for him to take care of him. But by him giving that to the church, it can broaden the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe do more programs, reach out to the community more, make the church more visible. By him giving, you know, that much more.
Well, Absolutely. Thank you.
I think a lot of times people don't have faith in God. But a lot of times you got to keep a hope from what the preacher has. And they're saying that, hey, let's stop putting money in church and put our own thing together to help our community grow. But that's a plan that you need to guard out. I really believe my faith is that kind of plan is not going to work. Have faith what God will do with the money. Dude's supposed to, don't worry about it. You know, let God handle whoever's not doing right by his funds. And a lot of times people, especially on Facebook, they put their posting up on how these preachers are lobbing us and stuff and not focusing on what the Bible says.
Yeah. Real good. It's also a matter of trust. And I'm going to ask this question here that's in this book. Have you ever met someone who did not want more blessing than he or she can handle? Have you ever met anybody like that? I've never met anybody who would refuse a blessing. And all the blessings that they can give, can get. Oh, yeah. That's a wonderful thing. And it is a matter of trust. One of the things, when you look at trust, I was reading this article. There's a grandfather who was playing with his grandson. The two were having a wonderful time. Both were laughing and enjoying themselves immensely. The game they were playing was an age-old challenge of trust. The little grandson, who was about 2 years old, would climb up on the couch. His grandfather sat on the floor and his arms outstretched toward the boy. The boy would jump and into the steady arms of his grandfather. And both would laugh, have a good time. After several repetitions, however, something happened that upset the fun. The child stood perched on the couch, ready to jump. And the grandfather's arm was outstretched to catch the boy. But something distracted the grandfather. He turned his head away from the toddler. And as he did, the boy jumped. Because the grandfather wasn't ready, the toddler tumbled to the floor, bumping his little head. Of course, the grandfather wheeled around in a vain attempt to catch the boy, but it was too late. The boy had fallen. Now, here's the kicker. The fall, of course, was not a one that was serious. But in the mind of that child, you think he's going to jump again? I don't think so. He lost a lot of trust in his grandfather because he fell above the bed. This is not going to happen again. Yeah. So that's kind of where it is. Oh, he certainly felt bad. Yeah, he certainly felt bad. And I don't care what that grandfather said, that boy was not going to get back on that couch and jump. I don't care how much he tried to comfort that young boy, it wasn't going to happen. But you know, it's a matter of trust when it comes to God, when it comes to His Word. When He says He's going to do something, He does it. You don't have to worry about jumping off the couch and God missing you, because He's going to be there. But that was very interesting. And when it comes to trust, we have to trust the Lord, not our own thinking. So often we think our way when it comes to money, particularly when it comes to money. I can't say it enough. We can talk about it's my money, it's my this, and it's my that. But none of it belongs to us. All of it belongs to the Lord.
Pray God will not drop the scripture here.
No.
He will not drop it.
Certainly won't. Never has. But when he says something, he never will. He never will. So yeah. Okay. I want to ask a few questions. That's this question. Our discussion questions down here. What is God's dare in Malachi 3? And do you think it still applies today? And we read Malachi 3 over and over again about bringing all of the tithes to the storehouse, all of this. And the question is, what is God's dare in Malachi 3? And do you think it still applies today? Why do you think Malachi 3:8-10 is the only passage of scripture where God calls his people to test him? Well, the only thing I can think of on this is that I'm glad that Malachi 3:8-10 exists. Now, we don't hide the day like they did in the Old Testament. but the application is the same. We need to make sure we have, we're doing all we need to do when it comes to giving. I was waiting on that. 30, 35, yeah. Yeah, they gave it. Yeah, for the poor. If the poor could have something. It's amazing. Poor people always existed and they always will. And I've never seen so many commercials on TV about helping those who are less fortunate. But this has been going on for years. And the ones who give the most are regular, everyday working folks. And talking about the millionaires, the ones that got it to give. But most of the people that do most of the giving when it comes are like those who are sitting in this room. They're always doing something and giving. You have somebody else that's less fortunate, which is a good thing. Which is a good thing. Can you get? Okay. Done. I like this question. Why do good givers continue to be good givers? And how does 1 Peter 2:3 factor into this discussion? That's a mighty short verse. Second part of that verse. First Peter 2:3. I apologize for that. Oh. Yeah.
If so, we have cases that the Lord is gracious.
I think we need to go up. A couple of verses on that. Read down through verse. Okay. So what is that saying? It's saying what? We need to be gracious. Right, absolutely. God is gracious. Thank you. Yes.
Like you give, you just take the return to kind of get credit for what you
Well, we're out of time. I want to thank everybody for the comments, and I'll tell you, I really enjoyed the lesson. Until now, when I'm ready to